Thank you, Brother John. It's good to come into your place of listening, wherever you may be. I was just here, standing here thinking about, we come this way, try to help to encourage people to turn back to God. I know a lot of people may have to endure it, but I just want to try to help us to encourage our hearts. We are in a mess in our country today, all the way from the White House down to the hen house, and it ain't going to change when election comes if we don't turn back to God as a whole. I thought I heard a preacher preaching this morning or talking about there's a call going out to the lost. And I told my wife, I said, there's also a call going out to the church how to return. The church has got so far away from God to probably 75 years ago. What was the church in wouldn't even fellowship with us now, but amen, that's how far it looked like we've got away from God. But I would like to say this, if the Lord willing, the next two Sundays, we will not be here. We brought a message here for Brother John to play. Brother Hanley Milby out of Buffalo, Kentucky. It's an hour long, so we'll play him 30 minutes of it next Sunday, and then the following Sunday to play the remainder of it. And then the title of the message is Wolves in the Church. So, and he wrote a book right after he preached that message. He wrote a book, and we have a few books, not many of them, but it's real interesting to look at. But I want to read just a few verses of Scripture. Then about 3-4 years ago, I guess, up at camp meeting, there was a Bible Methodist man come up there to camp meeting and was talking, and they had invited me over to come preach revival for them in West Tennessee. We never was able to make it over there. But there was a woman out of the church had wrote an article, and he gave it to me, and it got misplaced to put out somewhere to have. My wife found it the other day, made another copy of it, and I'm chugged up with a cold congestion or something the other day, so maybe we'll try to hold down and not just get fired up too much. But I want to try to read this article, and a lady wrote this. I didn't write it, and a man didn't write it, but it was a woman that wrote it, and it'll probably take me 10 or 15 minutes to read it. But I want to read some out of the Word of God to start with. On 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I want to read about 13 verses. Then we'll read this in the light of this Scripture. And maybe later on, I will preach on this Scripture. And 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazar Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now that's what we're going to have to do if we ever change our nation. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our father, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein. and built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake. If thou wilt come upon us, let me back up. And if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but thou, and they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy presence, which thou hast given us to inherit. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Seemed like they had a little wisdom here. Jehoshaphat did have sense enough to know when judgment and wrath and trouble come, to head to the house of God with their wives, their children, and the little ones, the whole crowd gathered together at the house of God. They didn't talk about politics. They come to seek the face of the Lord. Now, I'll read this paper, these three pages of it. If the Lord help us, I'm a poor reader. These are punctuation marks, stuff. I get mixed up on them. But I want you to hear what this lady wrote, and I believe it would do us good to pay close attention. Since we've got a church today that's gone so worldly, I believe it would do us good to hear this. Attention, church members and church leaders. Whosoever is hungry for truth, let's ask ourselves a question. Are we living a life to lift up Jesus Christ, or are we living a life to disgrace His name and the name Christianity? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, asks us to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith or reprobates. How do we examine ourselves? 2 Corinthians 10 and 12 states that none should measure themselves by each other. But Amos 7 and 7 shows us the plumb line for our comparison. Jesus is the plumb line. James 2:26 definitely supports this truth. One who has not holy deeds to manifest holy faith, his faith is faith and dead as a body without breath, a spirit. To meet God without holy faith is an eternal sad fate. Oh, I cry, dear friend, observe with godly love as you continue reading. Everyone has some kinds of deed. Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Matthew 4:4, Deuteronomy 8:3, and Luke 4:4 says, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Friends, are we living by every word of God? Or are we living by only the ones that suit our way of life? We see our nation is in serious trouble. Why? The answer to every question is found in God's Word. The Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that perilous times or dangerous times shall come. Then in the next verses it tells us why these times will come. Friends, we've never lived in a time when more church members do the evil things which Paul spoke of in these verses. Neither have we lived in a more dangerous time than now. We are to blame. We always suffer when we disobey God's plan. We can't blame the sinner people. The problem is the church people have let down and deserted the Lord's army. They have compromised and let self-rule instead of denying ourselves as we are taught in the Word of God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us what to do. Humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, turn from wicked ways, but are we willing to pay the price? Church people as a whole act in a more proud manner than worldly people, and are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Not much humbleness anymore. I heard someone say that they didn't understand why people would hold it against a preacher's wife or anyone that is all made up. I don't actually hold it against them, but I can't feel that according to the Word of God, that they are in God's will. Why do I feel this way? 1 Timothy 2:9 says, "Women, adorn yourselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearl, or costly array." Webster's Dictionary defines the following word, modest: 1, having or showing a moderate or humble opinion of one's own value, ability, and so forth, not vain, not forward. 2, shy or reserved. 3, plain, said of color, clothes, and so forth. 4, self-control. 5, temper. Titus 2:3-8 also teaches women behavior. From verse 5, we learn the meaning of both these words, discreet and chaste. Discreet, careful about what one says or does. Prudent, chaste, not indulging in unlawful sexual activity. Virtuous, not indecent, modest, restraining, and simple in style. The Lord hates pride in any form or fashion. The less pride we have, the closer to God we can be, and the more we can walk in the Spirit. In 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul tells us how to be an example of a believer. Proverbs 6:17 tells us the Lord hates a proud look. Proverbs 8:13 tells us the Lord hates arrogance and pride and evil way and the froward mouth, stubbornness, self-will. Proverbs 16:8, pride goeth before destruction. Mark 7:22 names pride as one of the evil things proceeding from the heart of defiling the man. 1 John 2:16 states that the pride of life is not of God, but is of the world. 1 John 2:15 said that whosoever loveth this world hath not the love of God in him. Only those who neither honor God nor fear him would resist these. His words, Proverbs 6:25, speaks against the woman with the made-up eyelids. Every place in the Bible that speaks of women that use paint on their faces or wherever you use it for makeup, they were harlots and whoredom, are denoting pride and out of the will of God. 2 Kings 9:30, Jezebel, I was out of the will of God. We know as she painted her face and tired her hair. Jeremiah 4:30, though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou bedeckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou restest thy face with painting, render thy face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair, thy lovers will despise thee. In Ezekiel 23:4, people who claim to be God's children, Samaria and Jerusalem, are compared to Ahola and Holabah, who two notable harlots. In Ezekiel 23:40, as the two lewd women washed and spiced themselves, painted their eyes, put on earrings, necklace, rings, and bracelets. See also Ezekiel 23:26 and Isaiah 3:18-24. Then the Lord compares the false church and unto Ahola and Aholibab. God has already spewed the sickening thing from his mouth, but the lukewarm religious rejecting reprobates are playing their tune of spirituality to the beat of the world. This they can do because a false spirit does harmonize with the world. But Christ had no concord with Belial, nor light with communion, nor does light with communion with darkness. Neither does righteousness fellowship with unrighteousness, 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. Also Romans 1:21 state that they once knew God, but verse 23 shows how they brought in the puppets, the Muppets, make an effort to glorify God with an image made like to corruptible beasts and birds. So with beauty, revels, with promote pride, sports, games, contests of carnality with forms of godliness, they are still trying to attract lovers as seen in Ezekiel 23:40. Satan, the old dragon, is the midst of the such carnality and pride. I have not found in the New Testament any example of godly women wearing pants, makeup, or any kind or any play, where they are told to do so. I am speaking to people who are calling themselves Christian. Are we an example of a Christian or the world? Let's be honest with ourselves and to God. All these things happen for an example to us that we would not pattern after the ungodly women, but after the godly. Don't get me wrong. Dressing godly does not save you, but we dress godly because we are saved and want to please our Master Jesus. Read Matthew 5:16, Matthew 23:22-23, 1 Peter 3:1-6, and 1 Peter 5:5. Now Galatians 5:19-21 lists the works of the flesh and state that these who are do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Lasciviousness, characterized by an expression of lust, or lewdness, wantonness, lewd, unchaste, lavish, luxurious, tending to excite lust. Lasciviousness is a work of the flesh, not a work of the Spirit. I have not been able to yet to find a scripture to justify being made up and proud looking. But Proverbs 6:16-17 tells us that God hates a proud look. I have not been able to find any scripture to justify women wearing mini skirts, shorts, bathing suits, bikinis, pants, jeans, or tight clothing of any kind that would show your figure, low-cut dresses, slits and skirts on the side, front or behind, proud hairdos, long or short, that denote pride of any kind, or of a dress that would call the opposite sex to lust after you. Are you dressing to cause someone to commit adultery in their heart? I have found plenty of scripture to condemn such dress, but none to justify it. Are you proud? Or are you humble? St. John 17 is another good example that we should be like Jesus as he was like his Father, God. Not patterned after Hollywood or the world or some religious program on TV that is a seducing spirit and doctrines of devil. Read God's Word. It will stand forever. Read 1 Peter 4:17-18. Are we concerned where we will be in eternity? It seems our church leaders today are doing contrary to God's Word. They are more concerned with socials, games, pleasures, and programs than with hope, poor lost soul. Fleshly things are an enemy to God. It takes a holy, holy, holy quickening spirit to save people. 1 Corinthians 15 and 45 and 10, 2 Timothy 2 through 4, pride and pleasure are choking people to death spiritually. Luke 8:14. I wonder what Jesus would do if he visited most churches today. From Galatians 5:21 and Peter 1:4 and 3, and a dictionary, lest divine reveling, a work of the flesh, merrymaking, entertainment, providing such as sports, games, dramas, mesquite, pageants, and so forth. From 1 Timothy 1:4, 2 Timothy 4:4, characterize our usual animals. We define the word fable, a fictional story meant to teach a moral lesson. The character are usually animals. 2, a mirth or a legend. Romans 1:23 condemns these puppet shows. Also, we hear more about the church ball league, stews, bean suppers, bazaars, trip to Opryland, and everything else contrary to God talked about in most churches instead of the Word of God. No wonder we are in perilous times. Skating, bowling, ball games, ping pong, beauty pageants, haunted houses, church banquets, and such like are now choking the majority of church membership until they, with shallow lip service, offer praise, but their hearts are on other things. Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I beg you, please search the Scripture. Here are the words of life. Friends, I do not write this to be rude. I was led of the Lord to give you this much of the truth. I love everyone. I want to help you to be happy and free in the Lord. St. John 8:32, the truth will make you free. If you will thoughtfully read again this entire writing and prayerfully search each scripture reference, and will find, according to Luke 6:13, you will love the Lord or despise God. I am still learning about His ways all time. When I walk in the light He gives me, I have wonderful fellowship with Him and all His people I meet. May God reveal Himself to you is my prayer. Your friend in Christ, Charlotte Massengill, Enville, Tennessee. Amen. If correctly reading this, that is a real blessing. If we'll search the Scripture, you know what we're doing today is exactly as they said. We're taking part of the Bible, the part that we want, the part that sounds good to our flesh, the part that, amen, that don't condemn us and don't get us guilty before God for our ways. We love them, but we don't want the Scripture that gets down to where we're living. I tell you what we need to do. You'll find back in this Scripture that I had read about Jehoshaphat. We'll find where, amen, Jehoshaphat, thank God, had made a league with Ahab. He had joined up with a king of Israel, which was the most wicked king in God's blessed book. And Ahab had made a league and joined up with him, and God had sent a man down there and told him, why did you make a league or join up with them that God hates? That's the reason why God sent these other countries down on Judah, because Jehoshaphat had done just the very same thing that our world is doing today. You'll read back. When Jehoshaphat first became king, when his father Asa died, amen, and he took over, the Bible said, thank be unto God, he set himself again Israel. Amen. He made up a point not to have anything to do with Ahab. But after 17 years, the Bible said, thank God, he made a league with Ahab. Ahab had a barbecue. Thanks be unto God, and tell you how Jehoshaphat went off down and joined in with him. Amen. So it brought the judgment of God upon them. And that's what's happening in our day-to-day. Us as people that call ourselves out of people of God. I'm not here to be rough, amen, or call you out. I'm just wanting us to look and see where we are in the sight of God. We're in a mess, friend. Amen. The Spirit of God just about taking his flight. We're just about left in a carnal age, a carnal church. About all you can hear about is entertainment, but we need to do. I like Jehoshaphat do, purpose in his heart, how to find the Lord. And the Bible said he got his wife. Amen. That meant he was the head of the house. It wasn't mama. He got his wife and his children and headed down to the house of God. Friend, that's what we're needing today, to take our young people and find the good house of God somewhere where it ain't full of the whole world and everything, and get back on our face one more time and repent of our low down sorry ways, amen, and how we sin and transgress against God, and ask God to come back and visit one more time. But friend, if we don't, amen, the judgment of God is going to swiftly fall. Amen. If I had time now, preach. Friend, but it's time that we woke up and realized Jehoshaphat. I know that God set up kingdoms. God tore down kingdoms. Amen. God still rules this world. Amen. I thought about it like this. I bought the house that I live in. And I've got every right in the world to say what goes on in it. Thanks be unto God. I bless your heart. God made this earth. And the Bible said in the fullness thereof. Amen. So he's got every right in the world to tell you and I how to live. Who to run after. Amen. We need to get back seeking God again one more time. He said, if my people have the cause of going out to the church today, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, we want to have a prayer meeting, we want to have all this other stuff, but we do not want to turn from our transgressions and our sins anymore. God bless your heart. But I'll tell you right now, folks, you know it just as well as I do. We're in trouble. Do you know a church anywhere that ain't in trouble? Do you know a church anywhere? If you do, you name it to me. I'd like to go sit down and get in a corner. Amen. And just watch. Do you know one anywhere? Ain't God that's got the Holy Ghost in it doing its work like it did 25, 30 years ago? I visited churches all over the Southeast, Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky. Thank God, never where I go, it's the same old wreckage. Dead, dried up, plucked up by the roots. Amen. I know carnality going on than anything I've ever seen. Well, I see our time coming gone. Maybe next Sunday, Brother Neil will let you rest and have a little leisure. So at this time, we'll turn it back to Brother John.